It is 9:09, 9:10 now. We're getting ready to talk about revamping the state's tax code, and I think everybody could be for that. Things like maybe make it like a flat tax, but then you start saying, well, in order to pay for that, we're going to have to do away with this and do away with that. And that's when people start saying, now, hold on a second, ain't nobody talked about that. With that, we welcome in Richard Nelson, Secretary of Revenue for Louisiana. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Tommy.
Tell me about the hearing that happened last Wednesday. What was the purpose behind it, and what did it reveal?
Sure. So we had a joint meeting of the tax committees of the Senate and the House last Wednesday, and it was focused a lot on kind of the corporate side of the House. So corporate income, corporate incentives. I mean, that was a lot of the discussion, but really that's part of the focus of this is not just on individual taxes, but also, you know, how do we make Louisiana more attractive to business? How do we get more investment in the state so that, you know, people have better jobs and more opportunity here? So our kids don't have to move to Texas to get a good job. They can stay here and, you know, continue to grow. And that was the focus mostly of that meeting. And I gave a little bit of a overview of our overall, you know, kind of tax plan direction as well. So but it was to keep, you know, kind of get feedback from the legislature, give them an opportunity to, you know, voice whatever concerns they have or what goals they have with tax reform, because it's obviously a big challenge that Louisiana struggled with for a long time, but it's also a big opportunity.
You're an interesting guy. You're a biological engineer. Then you went to law school. Then you worked in security for the country, right?
Yeah, I spent 7 years in the Foreign Service of the State Department. So I lived and worked all over the world.
So how did you wind up from that being the guy that's going to try to revamp the state's tax code? I'm just curious about that, Richard.
Sure. So I was in the State Department, and we were moving all over the world as diplomats. But I always followed the news back home in Louisiana, and I got tired of always finding, you know, the headlines are always bad. We're always 50th and, you know, 50th at everything, or always at the bottom of the list. And I wanted to come home and raise my kids here in Louisiana. And when we came back, I told my wife I was going to try and fix things. So I ran for the legislature. I spent, you know, 4 years in the House of Representatives, and then I actually ran for governor last year. And then the Governor Landry was gracious enough to make me Secretary of Revenue to try and fix all these problems, since I've been talking about them so much.
Well, let me tell you why I brought that up, because you seem like a guy that could live wherever you wanted, right, and make a living wherever you wanted. Accurate?
Yes, I mean, I was.
So why Louisiana?
Well, I'm from here. This is my home. I feel like if we don't fight to make it better, nobody else will. Unfortunately, many of the, you know, the people I went to high school with, many of the people that I went to, you know, LSU with, where I got my engineering degree, they're gone. I mean, they moved to Houston, or they moved to, you know, Florida, Virginia. They moved all over the country. And it wasn't voluntary. It's they moved there because they had better jobs and more opportunity, and that's why they went. And so I really think that if we fix the problems in Louisiana, we can outcompete all these other states. But the tax code is one of those major things that's holding us back, and it's been holding us back for 100 years, and we just haven't had the political will to make the big changes we need.
The reason I wanted to bring all that up, Richard, was I don't know you personally, but from the little bit we've spoken, I sense that you're a guy that you're not in it for the political power of it. You are legitimately of the generation and of the mindset to try to make the state better because you love it. And I commend you for that. That being said, how do you navigate your way through the politics of all of this to revamp the tax code? How do you even begin to go about it?
Sure. So, you know, I think that in the past, we've tried to kind of nibble around the edges of, you know, let's look at one credit or one exemption or one little piece of it, and let's try to fix that problem. And the problem with that is that, you know, there's always some special interest that's really invested in each individual piece, and the payoff for the people in general is not that much. And so the difference between what's been tried before and what we're attempting to do now is we're really trying to take a comprehensive look at it. Like, let's look at sales tax. Let's look at personal income tax. Let's look at the hundreds of exemptions and credits and incentives that we give out, and let's try and cut all those down and really just make it a fair playing field for everybody with low rates, so that we can attract business, so that we can keep people here, so that we can give everybody an income tax cut, and that's what we're trying to do. So I think that comprehensive view, I think it gives everybody some a really good payoff in the end, because they get lower rates and they get to keep more of their money. And then at the other, on the other side of it is everybody gives up a little bit. So you might give up your own, you know, personal exemption or your own, you know, credit or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, everybody's going to be better off by having a more competitive tax code that's going to attract business here, that's going to, you know, create a future where your kids can get a good job here in Louisiana and the state will grow, instead of what we've seen, which is this kind of continuous out migration. You know, we lost 80,000 people or so in the last 2 years. And so we have to really reverse that. And you can't do that with a broken tax code.
Who gets the majority of the credits when it comes to tax exemptions, et cetera, tax credits?
It's really all over the board. I mean, there's 223 exemptions to the sales tax. So there's, you know, that's 223 line items that, you know, this tax and this is taxed in some parishes and it's not taxed in others. We have a very complex sales tax code, so it's difficult for businesses to comply with. It causes all kinds of other problems. And then you have on the corporate side, you have a lot of different incentives and credits that, you know, what I say is it's kind of like going to the car dealer, right? You have a sticker price in Louisiana on the window that's really high. Mm-hmm. And if you get all these coupons and credits, then you end up having a relatively low rate. But most companies don't want to play that game. They just want to have a low rate so they don't have to go and hire a lobbyist or go hire some consultant to help them, you know, solve those puzzles. They just want to be able to say, this is what I'm going to pay. Okay. It's kind of like how everybody else feels too. And so the idea is to match what the price people that actually, what the price that people actually pay, match that to what is on the window, on the sticker, so that we can attract business, that we can keep them here. And that's, you know, really fixing that complexity problem is really what Louisiana needs. Because on the whole, our tax burden is lower than Texas, but nobody knows that because our, you know, the price on the window is so high, right? And so if we had it actually match, I think we'd be able to attract much more business. Many more people would rather be here when they know that they're actually paying less.
What is it going to take for me to put you in this state today? I'm just kidding. We're talking to Richard Nelson, the Secretary of Revenue for Louisiana, about revamping the state's tax code, and that's what they tell you at the dealership all the time. What's it going to take for me to put you in this car today? And I guess, Richard, when it comes to, I don't know, do you look at it from a cost-benefit standpoint of what return do you get on the exemptions or the credits, and what kind of jobs do they provide in return, or do you look at it as you get rid of everything and you start from scratch? How do you even go about solving this Rubik's Cube?
So what we've really done is looked at other states that have done this successfully. North Carolina is a great example, Arizona, where they've really noticed that they need to have a more competitive tax code. Mm-hmm. And so they've gone through and they said, well, how can we change this? And it's generally focused on the same thing, is how do you broaden the base of the tax and lower the rates for everybody? And, you know, we've gone, or we're in the process of going through that exercise of working with the legislature of saying, well, you know, which things can we get rid of, which things have a policy reason for being there. And so we've tried to look at what other states have done. And honestly, we're just looking at a lot of the, you know, we've had studies and commissions, and everybody for the last 50 years have said Louisiana's tax code is broken and here's how to fix it. And what we've lacked is the political will to actually get it done. And so we're not really reinventing the wheel here. We're trying to build on what's already been done and all the work that's been done in Louisiana and outside of it, and just trying to put those ideas into practice, because it's not rocket science. It's just a difficult political battle. And I think right now we're in a situation where, you know, Governor Landry is very motivated to make Louisiana better, to grow the state. And so he's willing to you know, to go to battle to make that happen. I think that both houses of the legislature are on board in doing big things and swinging for the fences. They all got elected saying that they're going to grow the state and fix these problems that have been around for forever. So I think we're in a good position, a better position than we ever have been, to really do big things. But that doesn't mean the path is going to be easy, but I think we're in the best position we've ever been in.
So let me know if I'm making up stuff in my head or not, because I do. But if somebody is benefiting from the film credit and they have a job in that industry and you want to change that, they're saying, well, look at oil and gas. Look at what they get. But if somebody's working in oil and gas, they say, yeah, but we produce jobs, or we provide more bang for the buck from the state. And that's what they say to the people in the, or the lobbyist in the film industry. How do you solve all of that? And is that a fair comparison or not?
Yes. I mean, I think it's true is that if you cherry pick and you say, well, we're going to get rid of this credit or we're going to reduce this incentive, then everybody else says, well, how come you're not going to reduce the other one? And so I think it's better to have a comprehensive view of it and just say, hey, look, this is just, we're going to do business a different way where we're going to lower rates for everybody so that everybody will be paying a lower tax rate. And then it's not the state picking winners and losers in different industries. It's just making the whole system more competitive, easier to administer, and, you know, I think better at attracting outside business and even, you know, giving an incentive for the businesses that are here to grow. And that's really the rub is that you're trying to make it where the state is not picking the winners and losers, that you're making it that it's a broad approach.
Everything right?
Yeah, no, it sounds like we're having a fire alarm or something like that. Sorry about that.
Well, do you need to get out the building or not?
No, it's okay. It's just a drill.
Richard, we've traced the calls. They're coming from inside of the house. Get out of the house. Let me take a break. We'll pick it up when we come back, all right? Because what you're saying makes perfect sense, but of course the question then is, well, who would be opposed to this if it makes so much sense? And I would guess the answer is a lot of people. And we'll find out about how you would actually go about fixing this. I want to talk about Bitcoin as well, because I believe they're saying now that you can pay your taxes in the state in Bitcoin. Richard Nelson, our guest, smart guy, Secretary of Revenue for Louisiana. If you got any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. I'd love to pass them along for you. That's the Oakman Heart Jeweler Talk and Text Line. I'm Tommy Tucker, back in a flash on WWL. 9:26 now, talking to Richard Nelson, Secretary of Revenue, about revamping the state's tax code. Let me get to this text, if I can, Richard, and it says, you want to lower taxes to help the state, but to help the state, more money needs to be allocated to education and health. Will this plan help to meet this need? I am not in education or health services.
No, sure, I'm here. So, I mean, I think that, you know, on education, I think it's an interesting thing, because I think Louisiana spends actually about 20% more per pupil than any of our southern neighbor states. So we actually spend a lot of money in education. It's just not I don't know that we spend it as wisely as it could possibly
be.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think that education really is a funding problem. It's more of a spending problem. And then on health, too, I mean, so we've done the Medicaid expansion under the previous governor, John Bel Edwards. And so we actually spend more on health care than I think any of our neighboring states per person as well, because most of our fellow southern states haven't expanded Medicaid. So we actually spend a significant amount of money on these things. I'll just tell you that it seems like the results aren't there. And I'll bring that back around in that I really think economic opportunity is the way to fix a lot of these problems, because, you know, if people have more money, if they're able to get more in their paychecks, you'll end up with better healthcare outcomes, better educational outcomes, lower crime. I think if you look anywhere in the world or anywhere in the country, that's how it works. And so you can't fix it. It's very difficult to fix a lot of these problems by themselves. But I think if you give people the opportunity to have better jobs and, you know, earn more money, you really end up solving a lot of these problems.
So where does that opportunity come from?
Well, so like I said, I think that fixing the tax code is what brings businesses here, is what will help businesses grow here in Louisiana, and that's what gives you better job opportunities. And those job opportunities are what is going to fund people having better healthcare outcomes, better educational outcomes for their kids. You know, if people have degrees, if people have a higher socioeconomic status, the kids do better in school. I mean, that's just, you know, the way it works. And so, and I think crime too is one of those things. If you're a really poor state, it's going to be tough to have, you know, a very low level of crime when you're a very poor state. And so I think growing the state and making it so that everybody is better off economically solves a lot of these problems just across the board. And I think the tax code is one of those things that's really been holding Louisiana back as far as attracting that business and opportunity here.
So if that makes every bit of sense, who could be against this and why? What's the opposition saying?
Sure. So, my original tax plan in the legislature when I first got elected, I think the advocate called it the plan that had something everyone can hate. And that's
you're probably onto something if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is that's true. But at the end of the day, the other side of that is that it has something everybody can love, right? So everybody's going to love lower income tax rates. Everybody's going to love a simpler system that's easier to comply with, that's easier to administer, and it's more predictable. I think that there's a lot of things for everybody to love. Everybody will have to give up something in exchange for that. Out of the 223 sales tax exemptions, if it's one thing that, impacts you directly, that's going to be something you don't like. But the other 220 things that you're paying tax on, I think that will balance out. And so, I think overall, it's looking at it comprehensively gives everybody the opportunity to win, which I think makes it more likely to succeed, and also what makes the goal so much better. The juice is worth the squeeze when you're going to have, much lower rates. You're going to have a state that's much more competitive instead of trying to take a little bit at a time approach where we're trying to fix, tiny little things around the edges. This is a swing for the fences. Let's try and fix everything so that, we don't have to keep talking about this for the next 100 years.
So let's talk about the 0.45 cents on every dollar sales tax that's set to expire. How does that play in all of this?
Yeah, so that 0.45 was passed, I think, in 2018 or so, and it was supposed to be a temporary tax so that we could bridge and come up with some kind of comprehensive tax change, right? And that's really what we're pushing, is to say, okay, that 0.45 was put in place to bridge us to some place where we need to be, and that expiration, which is going to happen next year on July 1st, if we don't do anything, would that's really provided us the opportunity right now to say, hey, look, we're going to have a, $500 million or $540 million shortfall from that expiring. And so why don't we figure out how to do comprehensive tax reform? Let's lower everybody's income tax rates. Let's restructure our tax code. Let's get rid of some of these exemptions that have kind of plagued us for forever. And if we do all those things, then the 0.45 becomes, it becomes less of an issue. We can basically maintain that 0.45, which is really not out of whack with what other states charge, and then instead fix all these other problems in our tax code, which was the original intention to begin with.
Let's talk about, I don't know if it's Hollywood South, the film industry or whatever. I'm reading Tyler Bridges' article here. It says, program cost state $150 million last year, produced a return on investment of only 11 cents in state tax revenue for every dollar given away, according to your revenue department, Richard Nelson. But how does that fit into the whole economic picture of jobs, et cetera?
Sure. So, I don't want to pick on the film industry specifically.
Well, I'm just using it as an example. That's all.
Yeah, that's right. I really, the returns on almost all of our incentive programs are pretty low. Like, it's the same, you lose 90 cents for every dollar you put into it from a state fiscal perspective, right?
But let me interrupt you for a second. From the economic standpoint, at that instant, you're talking about basically subsidized jobs, right? Just once removed? Yeah, no?
Yeah, so I think that, for the film industry or for the film credit specifically, we give about $180 million a year of a program, mm-hmm. and it makes about 10,000 jobs, which comes out to about $17,000 a job or something like that, that the state taxpayers pay into the industry. Mm-hmm. I think the idea is that if we do some of these broader tax reforms, if we say, hey, let's just have a lower rate overall, let's not cherry pick individual pieces. And, it doesn't mean that we have to get rid of the whole program. Maybe we just have to, put some more restrictions on it, figure out how to get the taxpayers the biggest bang for their buck across all of the incentive programs. I think that is the goal of just making sure that the taxpayers get the best return on investment that they can. And part of that is lowering the rates so that everybody has a benefit. And that's really the direction that I think we're moving in.
Do you really think there's a political will to get this done in Baton Rouge?
I think there is. I mean, I think that everybody sees the writing on the wall of we can't continue to lose, 40,000 people a year. When I was running for governor, one of the things I said all the time was that the last time Louisiana added a congressional seat, which is the last time we actually grew faster than the rest of the country, was 1910, right? So, it was a long time ago that Louisiana actually was growing faster than the rest of the country. And that's something that we need to turn that around if we want the state to compete, if we want our kids to stay here. and it's going to take big changes in order to do that. And I don't know that there's anything that's more impactful as far as changing that climate than the tax code, because that has really been broken for over 100 years. It really goes back to Huey Long, and he kind of set up this whole system where, you know, you have to hire a lobbyist. You got to be some kind of special interest to get your break, or else you're not going to succeed in Louisiana. And I mean, I think that's the culture, that's the perception around the country of what doing business in Louisiana means, is that you have to play all these games, and that's the problem that we've been facing for a very long time. And until you throw that out, we're not going to have the success that I think all of us are looking for in Louisiana. And honestly, based on all the resources and everything that we have here, we should, you know, we deserve way more. I mean, we don't deserve to be average. We deserve to be in the top 10 instead of always at the bottom.
I agree with what you're saying, but I just know that when the legislative session starts, those phones are going to start ringing, and I don't – you think this is going to happen?
I think it's going to happen. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm more hopeful now than I've ever been. I'll tell you, it's very difficult. That's why it hasn't been changed in the last 100 years. But I think that it's something that we have to do. If we want our kids to, you know, if we want our kids to be able to grow up here and be successful and raise their families here, then we're going to have to change things. We can't keep doing what we're doing because it's obviously not working, and it is something that we really are going to have to take a big swing at, or else, you know, things aren't going to change.
Let me get the Bitcoin real quick, because I don't understand it. Honestly, Richard, I don't. And it seems like a scam to me. But yet the state's going to start accepting it, right?
So, yes. So the Department of Revenue especially has we just renegotiated. We negotiated a new contract to we're going to accept Bitcoin. We also lowered the transaction fees for people when they pay their taxes with a credit card or debit card. Mm-hmm. And so starting January 1st of next year, we should have our new contract in place so that we will accept Bitcoin for your tax liability.
And there's no way the state gets stuck holding the bag of something that's not worth anything? And again, I'm ignorant when I ask this because I don't understand a lot about it, but
no, so we use a third party vendor, so they basically exchange it on the spot. We get paid in dollars. So you take your Bitcoin, and then they exchange it, and then when we get the transaction comes through, we actually get dollars. We don't hold on to the Bitcoin.
That makes sense to me. All right. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate your time. I hope we get to talk to you again as this proceeds. I hope you make some progress. But, again, my name's Thomas. I'll believe it when I see it.
I believe you. I hear you. No worries.
Thank you, Richard. You bet.